Can everybody hear that or just us? Oh,
I heard it.
sorry.
Wow.
We're live.
Good evening, everyone. I would like to call the study session of the University City Council to order at 5:30 on May 24th. The city manager has informed me that he has one change to the agenda for the regular session at 6:30, and that is to delete item number I-2, the painting of Centennial Commons. And so therefore, when we get to the main session, if someone would make that motion, I would appreciate it. Are there any other changes to the agenda of the regular session? Hearing none, Mr. Rose.
Honorable Mayor and Council Members, this item was proposed by Mayor Pro Tem Smotherson and Councilmember Clay. It is RPA 2 Steering Committee discussion. So I would turn it over to those gentlemen.
Okay, thank you, Mayor Crow and City Manager Rose. I want to simply, can everybody hear me? I just want to make sure I'm heard. No problem. I simply want to start the meeting off by just going over what we're proposing, and that is the proposal to establish the RPA 1-2 Steering Committee to prepare a third ward housing action plan and to govern the use leverage of $10 million generated from the I-170 Olive Project. So again, in this, and I'm just going to read some excerpts from this, and that is, University City has been provided with a great economic development opportunity to not only redevelop a low-performing commercial portion of Olive Corridor at 170, but also to provide funds to help reverse the decline of the adjacent residential area, substantially the Third Ward. And then also wanted to say, University City's philosophy of providing equal resources throughout the city has not shielded the residents of the Third Ward from racist state and federal policies that affected these neighborhoods differently. In reality, many of the city's past policies toward the area of the city north of Olive Boulevard have actually contributed to the segregation and decline in the Third Ward. Last thing, equitable, not equal treatment by the city is now required. And now is the time to address the needs of the Third Ward through the successful implementation of the RPA 1 redevelopment project in the effort to stabilize the Third Ward. So again, what we're proposing is that to have this steering committee, which is no different than any other commission that we have right now. And again, bottom line, this steering committee will make the recommendations of how to use the $10 million that is supposed to be allotted to the Third Ward from this development agreement and this development, and then present those recommendations to the council for approval. That's just as simple as it is. The uniqueness about this is, number one, it's unique that this city has put together a TIF that actually is bringing $10 million to the Third Ward, which is unique in itself. Not unique that there are other cities that have actually done this, but it is unique in how we've done this and getting that $10 million for the Third Ward. But the other uniqueness of it, because it's unique, it should also be decided or make recommendations by Third Ward residents that have lived throughout these issues that are happening in the Third Ward, because we're the ones that know how this affects us as we live. So that's the recommendation, and I'll turn it over to Councilmember Clay right now for his comments.
Thank you, Councilmember Smotherson. As you alluded to, I won't be repetitive because you made many of the same points that I was going to, but with Olive and 170, this community has an opportunity unlike any other. And certainly this is not the first council to try to address the Third Ward. And there have been passionate, vigorous council members from a number of wards, but primarily the Third Ward, who have advocated for redevelopment and could not quite get there, at least not in the catalytic development way that we have. And so that's something to be very proud of. I think the next step for us is to really look at things from an equity lens. And certainly this development is really represents the beginning of that process. And so how do we look at representation of a steering committee? What does that look like? I think Councilman Smotherson touched on many of those features and the importance of robust third ward representation. That's what it is. I do want to be clear with my fellow council members, I think they're aware of this, but also citizens, about what this is not. Similar to our boards and commissions, as Councilmember Smotherson articulated, it is beholden to the city council. The city council is the final decision maker. That authority is not taken away. This is simply, again, on par with other boards and commissions. So I'm looking forward to this conversation, to hear from my colleagues, and move this process forward. So with that, I'll kind of open it up to my colleagues for questions or comments.
We'd like the floor first. Alita.
I guess my first question is just about the definition of a steering committee, because in trying to understand this issue, I went and looked up some definitions of a steering committee. And the definitions that I found seem different than what the role of our commissions and boards play. There are words like, authorities provide strategic oversight. They define, prioritize, and control projects, support project from a management level. So those are the kind of definitions that I found for a steering committee, which is really different than the role that a board or commission would have. So I guess my question is just what would you say about how this steering committee is the same and different from a board or a commission?
What I will say is that, I know that there are different definitions of that, but just simply, the steering committee is just a body within UCity, just like any other commission that just simply supports the steering of actions or whatever, meaning that we're making recommendations specifically in reference to the $10 million and the actions that are going to be taken for the use of that money. And that's basically it. And making also recommendations that, hopefully will be broader than just the hammer and nail actions of fixing a house or fixing a roof. So that basically is it. There are all kind of definitions that you may find. But again, all it is just a group that actually just is steering the actions that we take with this housing program and the money afforded to the Third Ward.
If I can follow up to Alita's question, did you guys write this or did someone else write this that we've got in front of us?
Most of this is written by us.
Okay, so I just have to follow up on Alita's question though.
Sure.
The very first sentence says proposals to establish the steering committee to prepare a third ward housing action plan and to govern the use and leverage of the $10 million. And no offense to you, but that's not recommending.
Okay.
That's governing. If you guys wrote it.
Right. And that's why we're having this discussion. That's the reason we're having this discussion. Yes, sir, you're right. And that can easily be changed.
And I think the next step in this process would be consultation with the city manager about the appropriate term. I don't want to get hung up on terminology, steering committee versus task force versus board or commission. I think this is a conversation to kind of see where our colleagues are with the concept. I think it can go back to staff to, like, you know, because I know we have specific definitions for certain things, a board, a commission, a task force. So what I would ask of my colleagues is, if we can get to a conceptual level with this, we can go back to the city manager, perhaps whoever else needs to be involved, to get the right terminology.
Mr. Cusick.
Thank you, Mayor Crowell. My question, and maybe this is putting the cart before the horse, but since this steering committee, board, or commission would have some fiscal responsibility, primarily fiscal recommendations to the council, would this not have to be modeled somewhat after the method that we've used for the EDRST and the LSBD, because it will have a fiscal responsibility? That's just my concern right out the gates.
And it can. I mean, again, as Councilmember Clay said, you know, what we're trying to simply do is get a feel of the council and get your opinions about this and your direction on this. And then we can take it back to the city manager and then clarify before we move to approve this, but get the clarification and make sure that it is agreeable upon with everybody.
Thank you.
So yes, sir, you may absolutely be right. Because of the fiscal issues, this may have to be patterned after that, after EDRST and those boards.
Tim, I'm not sure I understand the distinction. I apologize if I'm being slow. What EDRST and what was the other one?
LSBD.
LSBD, and what is your distinction different for that from?
Would this have to be, because there would be recommendation on funding, would they have to be with those, would the steering committee have to go through the same type of vetting process for any type of applicant that the EDRST or LSBD may have to go through?
No, that's interesting. I hadn't thought about that. That's intriguing. Yeah. Huh. Anyway, what other questions? Any from Steve?
I'll just start off with comments about, in a broad sense, I understand the concept and the direction that the two council members are looking on this, and I think we've been involved in that since the beginning, that there was a decision to support this area specifically. That's why we have such a large redevelopment area. That's why we all stood together throughout this process when we sent out thousands of letters and homeowners showed up at some of these first meetings, and we all supported that issue over some really hard times, that we knew where all this was going. So we understand, and I think we all appreciate, that there's support from all three wards that this is where we would be directing the money. I think there's support to say the people that are in those areas should certainly have the lion's share, so to speak, of the input, so that we know from the people who live the experience what they see as important. I don't think we should simply say we don't want to get hung up on terminology, because I think when you propose something where two council members are suggesting they appoint every board member that might be existing for over 6 years, that also include the implementation and monitoring of the process of $10 million, I think we need to talk about the terminology, and I think we need to talk about the specifics before we get too far down the road. I think we can agree on concept that all makes sense to not just talk about equal, but equity, and what does that look like? But I'm wondering if with Mr. Cusick's question about fiscal responsibility, is this steering committee going to be having any ability to expend funds, much like, you know, the LSBD can
they've got a fund that they're spending money. Are we talking about funding this group, or is it just an advisory committee like any other advisory committee, so that they're giving us ideas we can chew on and think about when it gets back to us? That's a question that I have. And I do want to understand what the monitoring of this is going to look like. When they're monitoring this over a possible 6-year period, what does that mean?
I've got a couple of thoughts on that, Councilman Smotherson. Do you want to go ahead?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
I certainly think you make a fair point as it relates to cross-ward representation. I think, again, this was offered as a discussion point. And so certainly if our colleagues feel like something different should happen on that, I think we're open to that conversation, certainly. You also made the point, and I would strongly agree with it, the lion's share of representation be from the third ward. I think that's going to be critically important. But, if we want to talk about appointment structure, I mean, that's certainly a conversation that can and probably should be had. So certainly open to that. As it relates to, in my view, as the body actually spending money like the LSBD, I didn't necessarily envision that. I would say almost it'd be more akin to EDRST. So the allocation is made, sent up for recommendation, as a recommendation sent up for the council for approval. And there would be, as with all our boards and commissions and task forces and other things, some sort of staff liaison component. So that would not be absent from this process as well. Clearly the city manager would determine who that would be, but that component would also be in place as well.
Okay, and may I also address, Councilmember McMahon's question about monitoring. Again, what we're asking is no different than what the council has asked in understanding or monitoring, say for instance, Prop P funds that go to the police, and just knowing that what we're asking for is that line, knowing the $10 million and what it's being used for. No different than the council. We're not controlling it. We're making recommendations, but also monitoring the use of that. And so I'll give you a perfect example of that. Right now, I believe with the $3 million, the city manager's in charge of doing one of the things that the $3 million is for, and that is relocation funds, if I'm correct, City Manager Rose. So again, we don't control that, but I would like to know as a council also how that's being used. So we're not controlling anything. Like anything else in reference to a specific fund, like Prop P fund money or something like that, we're just monitoring the use of that money based on either our recommendations or action that's taken by the city manager. That's it. That's all we're doing. So it's just that's if that answers your question.
Chair.
Did that answer your question, Steve?
He not.
Right. I mean, if that answers my question. If they're just saying we want to know where it goes, that's fine. But the phraseology here is that the steering committee would continue to function through the housing action implementation, including monitoring the appropriate use of the fund. To me, if it's limited to just making sure we're spending this on the things that the city council approves, well, right, those will all be public records as it is, but that's fine with me then.
Yeah, and the last thing that I'll say is I think the word appropriate might sound more than it is appropriate in that, again, the $10 million is supposed to be used for Third Ward. That's it. That's the only appropriateness of this.
Yeah. Sorry, Steve, are you going to follow up?
Thank you.
Well, I'm just, because I think there's more involved in the development agreement than just a housing plan. And this talks about just setting up a committee to implement and monitor a third ward housing action plan. Is there some plan that's already out there that we don't know about that is in the wings for this committee to just kind of jump on?
No. We're going to develop a housing action plan. That's it. That's what the committee is going to do. Develop a housing action plan and present that to the council for approval.
I think Jeff's been trying to bite this apple for a while. So,
yep. Yes,
thank you. And I will probably take a less technical approach than Steve on this. I think we all appreciate the issues involved. I actually talked earlier today with a First Ward resident who used to live in the Third Ward. Who wanted to talk about how important the Third Ward is and fixing the issues that have developed over the years. We talked for almost an hour. So I do want to back up though to, you know, this proposal is very, very, very fundamentally different from all other boards, commissions, and committees. Because there has never been, and I do appreciate the desire to have inclusion and as much public engagement as is possible from the Third Ward. That's why I attended the meetings in 2018 where Mr. Rose set up with the Planning and Development Department, set up meetings with the residents to talk about what these issues are that I think, frankly, are the foundation of the three sort of principles of the reinvestment in the redevelopment agreement. But this is very different in that I did some research and I don't believe there's ever been a committee or board or commission that has any oversight over city funds. I mean, these are city funds, and I'll circle back to that, that have been appointed by exclusively one ward. I don't know that there's been such a group that includes council members as part of that committee or board from one ward. The other question I have is would the council members under this proposal be voting members of this? And what is the influence that a council member may have over a committee or group that has been appointed solely by the two council members who sit on that board. And then finally, there's no staff liaison on this board, or committee. I mean, these are all, this is not very similar. This is very, very different. This is a big departure from every board, commission, steering committee, task force, that I've ever seen. To dovetail on what Steve said earlier, you know, we went through this process together. Alita was the only person who was not yet on the council when we went through the TIF commission process. There was no daylight between us about what the issues were, what we needed to try to do to impact and make improvements in the Third Ward. There was no daylight. I mean, it was unanimous. We worked together. We all agreed. I talked to, you know, Stacy and Wayne both. I don't think that there was, again, any daylight. And to that end, in talking to the First Ward resident that I talked to today, like, is there a reason or a belief that someone from a ward outside of the Third Ward can't hold or look at the entire city and the needs of the Third Ward in terms of this project, which we have already determined benefits the Third Ward and the $10 million? Is there a reason that someone in the First Ward can't have the interest of the people in the Third Ward or the people in the Second Ward, same thing, can't put their interests and the needs first, the way we did as a council. Like, I feel like we started this together. I'd like to finish it together and be on the same page with one another. And then the broader point, too, as it relates to this policy, as I mentioned, you know, we're talking about $10 million. This is city money. Under this proposal, who is accountable? And I understand the recommendations or proposals, although I thank Steve for mentioning the comment about governing. I understand that the intention, I think, is probably for it to come to the council. But when you're proposing that a steering committee be established, that I cannot make a appointment to, as I would pretty much every other board or commission, who is accountable? And here's the thing, like, there's $10 million, right? You got one shot to do this right. And when the money's gone, the money's gone. And what would you say to my constituents? And I do feel like we can talk this through, but what would you say to my constituents who would tell me, or maybe tell Alita or Tim or Steve, that by agreeing to this, you're really abdicating your responsibility as an elected official over the, you know, the money of the city, that this is an abdication of fiduciary responsibility to not be a full, essentially full participant, or at least be able to make an appointment, whether or not that appointment comes from me, the first ward, or not. This is we're talking about $10 million. I mean, where have we ever in the history of the city created what I would say is, I think, a very sort of insular group or committee that's very narrowly determined by such a small group of council members. So I say that with a great deal of respect for the two of you presenting. Thank you.
I'll let you go ahead and address that first. Yes, go ahead.
So I hear you, Council Member Hales. I don't think the proposal as it stands necessarily is an abdication of the other council members' responsibility, because everything does flow back to council. But it sounds like there are some concerns about the appointment process, and I hear that. So I'd like to take a moment, and I know Councilman Smotherson wants to get in, to maybe think about a different appointment process. Because for me, it's about representation. And to Councilmember McMahon's point, the lion's share, that's the most important thing to me. So if there's a conversation to be had about appointment structure, let's have that. Let's figure that out. Go to the mayor, and then, but I think Councilman Smotherson, and then we can hopefully come back to this idea of an appointment structure that works.
Is it me? Okay. What I will actually say, Jeff, I definitely understand your points. In reference to staff liaison, absolutely. You know, that's the thing that we've been, Councilmember Clay and I have been bouncing back and forth. Should it be somebody from Planning Commission or staff liaison? It can be both, because we've never eliminated that. We've always wanted, and I actually talked about this a couple of nights ago and agreed that it should be a staff liaison. So not that is absolutely correct. And we don't have a problem adding that to this commission, to the steering committee. But the one thing that I will say to you, Jeff, is that you made this statement that there has never been this type of steering committee, or never been this type of committee. Jeff, there's never been this type of funding. And the uniqueness about the funding is that it is for the third ward. That's it. It's for the third ward. We're not asking, we're not trying to eliminate your responsibility as a councilman, because bottom line, the approval has to, in every case, go through the council, period. So you're not abdicating your responsibility, because you will have that responsibility because it has to go through the council. So again, I'm just letting you know that there's never been this type of funding specifically appointed or assigned to a specific ward of this city. And that's what makes this unique. And then I'll go ahead, because I think the mayor has something, and then we'll move on.
If I can get my bite of the apple, I'd appreciate it before we go forward. A couple of things that I just kind of got to get off my chest. And the first is that this is not my first rodeo here. And I recognize that whenever we have something come to us from any commission or task force or whatever we want to call it, it automatically has momentum. And then when council goes a different direction, council is always accused by the people who are on the task force or the commission of, why did we volunteer all of our time when you're not going to listen to us anyway? So when we create a task force like this or a commission, we are automatically creating momentum with that group of people for their proposal. And then when we disagree with them, we are automatically deflating them, and we are automatically bringing in conflict. So how this group is set up is incredibly important to me. And I will just say, I am exceptionally uncomfortable about us giving all of the nominations to this task force to two people, and everybody's got to be from the third ward. No offense, makes no sense to me. It does not. And I also want to come back to the paragraph, which is 1, 2, 3, 4, which says, the primary purpose for inviting a commercial redevelopment project of the magnitude of Olive and 170 was to promote the revitalization of the third ward by housing stock by providing seed money for its improvement. No, it wasn't. The reason we did a development at Olive and 170 was because we wanted to impact the entire city. Now, it's great that we are doing the third ward. It's great that we're going to do Olive. But I think when I sat down with everybody on this, we wanted to do the Costco development because that intersection needed attention. It was economic development. And one of the best benefits was that it was going to benefit the third ward. But I do not in any way believe that it was the primary driver in any way, shape, or form. And we're going to live by what this proposal says. And I don't believe that the people in the rest of the city would say that that's why we're getting a Costco there. I think it's great that we had the foresight to do this. And I commend all of my colleagues who have been a part of this process all the way along. But at some point in time, there's got to be a balance here between how the money's to be spent, who's to be involved. And at the end of the day, we are the ones who are responsible for this. And as we move forward, I will always listen to all of what you guys have to say. But I really don't have any intention myself of giving up my right to appoint someone to a commission. I really don't. And I'm very uncomfortable with two members of council being on it. I think this is something that is going to end up coming back and biting us. And I believe that we have all operated in an honorable, professional way throughout this entire process. We trust each other. We have had the city's best intentions all the way through. And I believe all of my colleagues can make appropriate appointments to all of the commissions. And I believe we can work through this. But I just have to put a line in the sand that I do not have support in my mind for giving up the right to appoint someone to a commission or a task force that's going to have momentum authority over $10 million.
I'll go ahead and let Alita before I address that. So go ahead, please.
What? No. Thank you. I
wanted to let Alita go ahead, but that's fine. I'll address that. Sorry.
Ready to go?
I kind of had expected a response from Boyne before I got the chance to move on to another member of council. But if Boyne is wanting to set the pace, then I guess he's setting the pace for the study session. And Ms. Klein, if you'd like to speak, I guess.
Well, first of all, you know, I just kind of wanted to echo what Steve said in terms of, you know, I do think that the third ward input is going to be more important and significant, and that I hope that we can find, you know, significant ways to make sure that we understand what members of the third ward want and to incorporate that into the plan. My concern is a little bit different than Councilmember Hales and Mayor Crow. My concern is, it has to do with, you talked about that this steering committee would create the program or guide the program, the housing program. And so I guess my concern is that, like, a commission and a task force doesn't generate the program, doesn't generate the ideas. We have employees and we have professionals that do that for, you know, that have a lot of experience in doing that, that generate these things. And then the commissions and the task force, you know, kind of give an approval of what the professionals have put together. So I guess my concern is that, you know, and I know that the composition of the task force was probably evolving and changing, but from what I read here, I don't really see any professional input there. I don't see any, you know, significant input from people that have experience in running these kind of programs and creating these kind of programs. And I don't, like, for me, it doesn't make sense that, you know, 5 members of the third ward, you know, council members, I mean, I couldn't do it, could put together something, a program that could utilize this, you know, millions of dollars. So, you know, that's my main concern. I think that there are professional community development companies that understand how to get input from communities, that understand how to organize communities and direct that input into policies that they know how to make, into programs that they know how to create. I wouldn't know how to create that kind of program. And, you know, I wouldn't, you know, build my house with my ideas. I would want to hire an architect that understands how to put what I want into a realistic version of the house, you know? So I don't know if that makes sense, but that's kind of the general idea of my concerns.
Okay, my turn. What I'll actually say, Councilmember Klein, is that you're absolutely right, because part of the plan for this committee is, or the steering committee, is to bring in professionals, because you're absolutely right. Because we don't have the background or knowledge to actually do that. We would have to bring in the professionals. I don't think that's what we have right now. We probably don't have that, and we would have to probably bring in professionals and to guide us through putting that plan together. So I think that you're absolutely right. That's been the plan all along. The other point that I would like to make, and I'm not remembering everything, but to address Mayor Crow, and I will have to say this, I was there from the beginning, sitting at the table, and I respectfully correct you in that the reason this got started was to establish a way of funding stabilization of the third ward. That's how this got started. That was the primary reason this got started. Now, once it got turned over to council, of course, it became a development of Olive and 170, and that's wonderful, great, and good. But I will absolutely tell you, I was there from day one, sitting in that meeting at Bredco on that Saturday morning, several Saturday mornings. The reason this got started was to find a way to invest, bring money to establish and stabilize the actions and things that were going on in the third ward. So again, I just wanted to make that point. Also, my last point before Councilmember Clay takes over is that Councilmember Clay kind of alluded to this too. This is just a discussion. What we put on paper was just simply a template to discuss. It can be changed, shifted, and everything. And that is, but primarily, I think our primary reason for doing this is to make sure that the Third Ward is represented in this decision making. That's it.
Mr. Clay.
Yes. So I'll play off of what Councilman Smotherson just said. For me, and I think us, it is about, to use Councilmember McMahon's words, the lion's share of the representation going to the Third Ward. So let me throw out a couple scenarios. So I don't know, say the number of folks in most of our boards or commissions is 7. Or I don't know, I actually don't have the proposal in front of me, but whatever that number is, the predominant serving committee members are from the Third Ward. Just conceptually, can we get agreement on that? So if in a scenario of 7, it would be 4, can we conceptually get agreement on that?
Well, I don't speak for everybody on here, but I don't have a problem with there being a number of people from the Third Ward. And frankly, if we follow the scenario that we followed previously, if each one of us has an appointment, I think I can easily commit to, I think I have the greatest latitude of anybody on here of appointing people from different wards. And that doesn't bother me in the slightest. But if that's where you're going, I just have to say to my colleagues here that I think it is very important that we each have a voice in the population of this commission. But I don't have a problem with there being a majority of people on the commission from the Third Ward. But again, I'm 1 of 7.
Okay.
And may I jump in real quick before Jeff? Sorry about that, Jeff. I apologize, sir. Very quickly. Doggett, I'm sorry. Maybe Jeff needs to go ahead because I forgot my point. Go ahead.
Mr. Hales.
Thank you. I completely agree with the mayor. I see no, I have no reservation about whatever this body is going to be or be called to be weighted towards the Third Ward. That was my initial thought was appointing someone from the Third Ward. I do agree entirely with the mayor, and I think you know from my previous comments, I'd like to be afforded that opportunity. So I don't want to pick a fight with Councilman Smotherson on this, but I do take issue a little bit with what is before us in our agenda packet for this study session is not a conversation starter. It is a proposal. It is the first word. It is a proposal. And I do want to just share like that. That is a departure from how we have really kind of gone about talking about big subjects. I appreciate the pieces that go into this and the ideas and concepts, absolutely. I would appreciate it more if it were presented as, here's where we are, here's where we think we need to go, and here are the things we think are important, rather than what was truly a proposal before we've ever had a conversation to discuss this. Because I do think one of the strengths of this council is that we can have these conversations, and out of these conversations, it doesn't matter whose idea it is, it gets stronger through our conversations. So I do appreciate that's kind of where you are now, but in the future I would like to have a conversation starter and talk about an issue before there's a fully developed proposal that's being presented to me, at least. Thank you.
Mr. Smotherson.
Thank you, Mayor Crow. What I will actually say to that Council Member Hales is that I appreciate your suggestion. All we were trying to do is present something as complete and professional as we could. That's it. Not to take away, not to say that this is what we want, no, but to just give you something that was as complete and professional as we thought possible. Now, the other thing that I wanted to actually comment on is something that Mayor Crow mentioned. I think that if the group of us can make a suggestion about whether the two councilmen in the third ward should be a part of this committee, whether we should have a voting right, I'm not thinking that we should at all. I just thought that it was important to have us as part of this. I thought it was unfair to have one of us as part of this committee when it's a third ward issue, third ward resolution to plan. And so that's part of the reason. But again, that is open for suggestion. And the only reason I've said two is because it's the third ward. That's all.
Okay, I think Tim had a question, I think. Tim?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mayor Crow. One of my concerns is on page 3, the first paragraph, the second sentence reads, therefore, most of the $10 million should be dedicated exclusively to housing programs and projects. And then further down, it says, implementation of the money for those projects. But this doesn't really outline how much of that money is going to be going to residential projects and how much of the money would be dedicated and used for actual economic development. And it really doesn't talk about any of the economic development and how that would be taken care of and who would make the decision on what percent of the funds would go towards economic development versus housing projects.
Mayor, if I may, I think I might have an answer to that. So there is the additional $5 million that I think goes to businesses, which the city manager can correct me if I'm wrong. That's more the economic development money. Is that, City Manager Rose, is that correct?
I'm here, Councilmember Clay. $5 million of the 15 will be going towards the Olive Boulevard corridor.
And that's not in the purview of this proposed committee, Councilman Cusick.
So there would be the economic development would be those decisions would be separate from this.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Councilmember Clay, if I could just add, if you look at housing as economic development, then it would be included within the 5 million. Mayor Pro Tem Smotherson alluded to the relocation assistance program, where the redevelopment agreement identifies that those funds could be used for that purpose. So I just wanted to clarify.
Okay.
Next, you, Stacey? Okay.
If I may, sorry, I know the time is getting away from us. So can we think about this? It sounds like we conceptually agreed that the predominant number, if we use 7, can be third ward. From an appointment perspective, heard the concerns about cross ward representation, or at least the ability of other council members to appoint. Could there be a scenario in which, okay, Councilman Smotherson and I, we have ours, we're going to pick third ward people quite naturally. Sound, if I heard the mayor correctly, he's committed to his pick coming from the third ward. I think I may have even heard Councilman Hales, correct me if I'm wrong, your pick would come from the third ward. Yeah. In that scenario, again, if we're using the number 7, and I know there's a question about the council people, we can get to that in a minute maybe. That's 4 out of 7. And then in that scenario, Cusick, Klein, McMahon would have one from their ward. And I've not spoken. I don't know if this is the right idea or not, but I'm trying to make something work here.
Let's give some brief bites of the apple because we are running low on time. Yeah. Alita, and then I think Steve, and then Jeff, and then we'll need to call the calling the dogs. Alita?
Yeah, just really quickly, you know, I've talked to some people in the Third Ward, and I think one thing that we could consider is a community development organization or company that gathers input from the whole entire ward. So we're not, you know, we're not pulling in one or two or three or four or five people from the Third Ward to be a part of this process, but we're bringing in one company that can be a voice for hundreds of people, whoever wants to be involved, so that we can have this kind of mass engagement where the Third Ward feels like we're including them, where we want them to be a part of this process. And that's just an idea that was actually shared with me that I think is a really good idea.
And I don't necessarily see that as mutually exclusive to the steering committee. I think you could conceivably have both. And I think I'll have a plan commission. They bring in somebody who does the actual plan and gets input. So I don't think those things are mutually exclusive, but I appreciate the idea.
Mr. McMahon.
Just a couple of things. I don't know if seven's the right number or the wrong number. Maybe a larger number makes sense so that you can still have representation from your ward and maybe even then go in and find and have a representative from the Third Ward as well. So you've got one and one coming out of the first ward, one from the third, one from the first. I don't know. Those things have to be discussed. But I, while we're talking about the benefit of the money going to the Third Ward, the reason why there has to be other representation is I don't think anybody can guarantee me today that anything that's developed in this Third Ward action plan won't have some type of impact on the first or second ward. So while the money may be spent there, if this housing action plan somehow impacts other areas of the city, don't those residents have a choice to say, well, can you think about it from my perspective? Not that they'd be the overwhelming voice, but we want the diversity of thought so we don't overlook somebody in the process. And that's maybe what we failed on in the years past, but we shouldn't throw that out now. And the other thing in paragraph, the first paragraph on page three, it talks about that they'd be making recommendations regarding non-housing related neighborhood infrastructure, amenities, and safety should be funded from existing tax revenues and additional taxing revenue generated by the project. It sounds like then this task force is actually then talking about how we would be spending existing tax revenues, when I thought infrastructure was part of the development plan as that would go in there. So now we're saying we're tossing that out. I mean, I don't get, how does this steering committee then have an obligation to review how to spend general tax revenue?
So I think Mr. Hales.
Anybody?
Mr. Hales?
Yeah.
Well, we're going to have to.
So my last two comments. One is it sort of echoes what Alita said. I actually have somebody in mind for my appointment from the Third Ward, who I think would be terrific, and who I know. But I don't think the balance of the representation is nearly as important as the participation of the residents from the Third Ward, which is how this whole thing started. When I think we had two or maybe three meetings at the community center in 2018 and listened and. Again, that's where I think that the preliminary assessment of the needs all came from. And then the other thing, and I do appreciate the conversation, but I also did want to respond that, you know, Mr. Rose has hired someone who I believe started today, who has a I would say, from what I've read, fairly significant background in housing and housing programs. And I think we should, and this is a great conversation, but I do think that we should put this on not a very long pause, but I, as we develop where we want this to go, I do want to hear from her. I think that's really important that we hear from her. And That's my last comment. Thank you.
Mr. Cusick.
Thank you, Mayor. I will be very brief. And my question is, are we presuming that, to follow up, I guess, with what Jeff said, we're presuming that the way forward will be a steering committee. Do we have other options that we can consider? I don't know what they might be, but one of the things that Alita alluded to about an agency that has more expertise in something like this, as well as a recommendation from the city manager to see what his recommendations would be, especially in light of the new people that he has hired that would be able to chair a steering committee, or if we're using a steering committee. But do we have other options, or have we already decided that there's going to be a steering committee in some form as it's already been proposed?
Mr. Smotherson.
Thank you, Mayor Crowe. This will be brief. Councilmember Cusick, no, it hasn't been decided. That's why we're having this discussion. But also what I would ask is if City Manager Rose would pass along the housing qualifications of the Assistant City Manager, because I haven't seen that. And I'd like to see what Councilmember Hales is referring to as experience, because that I have not seen. Thank you.
What? John, are you wanting to speak, or is that just your opinion?
Just briefly, as a matter of legal, a legal point, Mayor, if I may. The premise here is that $10 million is available for housing programs, and I'd like to mention to council that there are legal constraints on the expenditure of the funds that are generated from this project. My understanding is to get to $10 million, you need to use certain dedicated sales taxes, for instance, fire, parks, stormwater. Those funds under Missouri law can only be used for certain purposes. So to get to $10 million, you would need to basically pull money from the general fund or find another source. So you would not have $10 million available for housing programs necessarily.
Just for that out. Right, for exclusively for housing programs, but you still could be used for the third ward. So it meets the obligation that the council has established. Honorable Mayor and council members, if it's acceptable to you, we are looking at scheduling a retreat for you here pretty soon. It seems as though this is the type of discussion that needs more time allotted, as well as giving staff an opportunity to provide input. For these type of major issues, my approach normally is to obtain guiding principles from you in how a program would look. Once I receive that information, then staff can go back and develop a program. And as a part of that, do outreach to the community to determine, is this what you think is in the best interest of the community as well? As most of you know, I am interested in creating a housing program for the entire city, carving out funding that would not be used to supplant the money that University City would otherwise give to the third ward, but to augment those funds. But we simply have to have an opportunity to do that. Happy to share what Brooke Smith's background is in housing with all of you.
Thank you very much for that. We are going to move forward into the regular session. So if we all thank you all for bringing this forward. Thanks for the debate and discussion. And we will start in about 2 minutes in the regular session. Thank you.